It's a refreshing. Say refreshing. Refreshing. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 13. I have a powerful word. The Holy Spirit dropped this on me. I prayed in the Spirit for about 5 hours this week. And it was absolutely, talk about if you want to build that intimacy with the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you right now, start praying in tongues. Start praying in tongues. This message was downloaded to me. In fact, I prayed in tongues so much on Thursday and Friday, the message wasn't coming to me. I went to men's ministry yesterday, and I'm like, Holy Ghost, you got to give me this message. You do know service is tomorrow, right? And sure enough, right after men's meeting, when I got home, set up my laptop at the table, all of a sudden, boom, a download from heaven, and this is what I received. Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9, and it says, then he spoke, he, Jesus, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth or dirt. And they immediately sprang up, and because they had no depth of earth, I'm still kind of messed up from that. The anointing is so powerful in here right now. Wow. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now go down the road a little bit to Matthew 13, verses 18 through 23. I'm setting this up. Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Jesus continues. Now he's going to explain this parable. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, underline it, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, I preached on the parable of the sower, I don't know, maybe a year ago, I lost track of time. What did I eat for dinner last night? I have no idea. But sometime down the road, I preached on this, and I just want you to know, this is different points. This is added to it. These are new points that the Holy Spirit has given to me. So today, I want to talk about keys to receiving your harvest. Keys to receiving your harvest. I want to talk about some of the points that the Holy Spirit gave me on how to receive the promises of God in your life, okay? How, and in fact, how to receive the Word of God. How to receive the Word of God when you hear it preached, when you hear it taught, when someone shares something, when you read the Word of God, all right? And it's based on this parable of the sower, or some say the parable of the soil, right? Because it's talking about different kinds of soils, right? Now, spiritually speaking, a harvest, say harvest, is receiving the end result of what you're believing God for in your life. When I talk about harvest, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about receiving the promises of God in your life, the fruit of that. Now, the purpose of planting a seed in the natural realm, right, is to receive a harvest of some kind, whether it's food, whether you're planting a seed for a tree, a plant, flowers, and so on, all right? During my time in prayer this week, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about how many Christians, they want a harvest, but they're not doing what it takes. They're not doing what it takes to see the process through to completion, all right? Or the receiving of that promise in their life, to the finished product, or to the divine appointment in their life. Are you following me so far? You understand where I'm kind of going here? I want to zoom in on the process of receiving the word of God and the promises of God in our life, all right? And we will see where else the Holy Spirit takes it, because we know he can throw in some rabbit trails there, divine rabbit trails, right? Usually when that happens, it means someone in here or watching online needs to hear it, right? So here we go. We're jumping in. Jesus referred to the word of God as seed. Say seed. He talked about some seed falling by the wayside. He talked about some seed falling on stony places. He talked about some seed falling among thorns. And then some fell, believe it or not, on some good ground. Amen? And when it fell on good ground, it produced a crop. It produced a harvest. And some of that harvest on the good ground, some of that yielded 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold, all right? I want you to notice that the 100-fold, the 60-fold, and 30-fold were all a harvest on the good ground only. Only on the good ground. In other words, if you look at this parable, you will notice three out of the four circumstances that Jesus talked about with soil, three out of the four did not produce anything. Are you following me? 75% of that did not produce anything in their life, okay? The ground that Jesus is talking about is simply this, the condition of our heart, which includes our thought life. The conditions of, not the pump, our heart, our spirit, our soul, okay? Which includes our thought life. Oh, Holy Spirit was so good in this message. I'm telling you, if you really just zoom in. Focus on what I'm saying. I believe this is really going to be a blessing to people. So you could say that the condition of our heart or thought life would include how much our mind is renewed by the word of God. Does that make sense to you? The condition of our thought life includes how much our mind is renewed with the word of God. You could also conclude then, the degree to which our mind is renewed by the word of God will determine, that is the very thing that determines whether you're 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. How much is your mind renewed with the word of God? I heard a minister say recently, and I mentioned this on Wednesday night at our service. He said, how do you measure how renewed your mind is to the word of God? Is there any way to measure that? And he went on to say an amazing answer that never really clicked in my spirit until I read it. He said this, how you react when you face an impossible situation that you have absolutely no control over, where you got to trust God, how do you react? Are you negative or are you positive? Are you in faith or are you in unbelief? Of course, how much, you know, you can judge it as well by our conversation, the words that come out of our mouth and our actions. But I thought this was an incredible way. You agree? How do you act? Do you immediately fall into negativity or are you staying in faith and being positive? All right? So that will reveal how renewed your mind is with the word of God. All right? Jesus went on to explain the parable further. Man, Jesus, by the way, was the best teacher around. Amen? And who do you think anointed Jesus? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the best teacher. Now, where does the Holy Spirit live now? In the Christian. You have the best teacher in the universe living on the inside of you. Listen to this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God, the word of God, and does not understand it, the wicked one, the enemy, demons, evil spirits, they come along and they snatch what was in the person's or by the person's heart. That's what Jesus said. The enemy, when there's no understanding of what's heard or what's read. Are you following me? And listen to this. So a lack of understanding, then you could just conclude this. A lack of understanding what's being spoken or what you're reading from the Word of God makes the seed of the Word unprotected in your heart or by your heart. And you'll see what I'm talking about here in a moment, how this ties in. This lack of understanding, by the way, ready for this? Oh, you got to get this. I've really never zoomed in or seen this before. The lack of understanding of what's being taught is your responsibility as the Christian. It's your responsibility to correct and change that dynamic. And I'm going to show you why in a moment. First of all, it's talking about the condition of your heart or your soul. Whose responsibility is that? It's ours. We're supposed to renew our mind with the Word of God. It's not God's responsibility. The devil and demons, by the way, evil spirits, they have no control over your mind unless you all give them that influence over your mind. You understand? So listen to this. If you lack understanding, the enemy can mess with your thoughts very easily. That's why Jesus said, when there's no understanding, the seed of the word that's been spoken to someone, the seed is very vulnerable, and the enemy can come and take that seed away. All right? What the Holy Spirit showed me when I read this and was writing this, he said it's as easy for the enemy like you stealing candy from a baby. There's no challenge to it. Oh, you're going to get this. Now go to Proverbs 4. Let me show you something. Proverbs 4. It's like when there's no understanding. Now, here's the thing. The problem is not that you don't have understanding. The problem is this, that you don't do anything to correct to get that understanding. Are you following me? Look at Proverbs 4, 5 through 9. There's no problem. We hear things all the time. You might hear a point that I give or a sermon. You're like, man, I don't understand that. The question is, what do you do with that lack of understanding? All right? Proverbs 4, 5 through 9. It says this. Look at this. Very simple. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, say getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Now, what I really want to highlight in that passage, what the Holy Spirit showed me was this. Get wisdom, get understanding. Does that sound like that's God's responsibility or ours? It's our responsibility. So again, there's no condemnation in having a lack of understanding. The question is, are you motivated enough to dig in to get understanding? That is our responsibility to get those things, not God's. There is no excuse, listen to me, there's no excuse not to get wisdom, not to get understanding. The only reason you wouldn't seek those two things is because you are not motivated enough. Come on, somebody. You're not motivated enough to go after those two things. So when you stay in that condition of a lack of understanding, that's where the enemy comes along and says, oh, they're not doing anything with that. Thank you very much. And he snatches it away from your heart. See, that is the problem in your own heart. God is not a priority. Let's just say it like it is. Let's not sugarcoat it. Basically, God's not a priority in your life. Oh, that hurt, didn't it? Oh, shots fired, right? You're not willing to put in the effort to study and dig into the Word of God. You're not motivated enough to pray for wisdom and understanding of that thing. That's why, again, it's so easy for the enemy to steal the seed of the Word that was sown. Come on, I'm going to say this. Are you ready? On your heart. Say on. Remember, in most of these, Jesus talks about the seed being sown and it falls on. Say on. It falls on the soil of our heart. I want you to notice the seed there, many times that Jesus talks about, wasn't sown in, but on. Oh, come on. This is the revelation the Holy Spirit gave me that was so powerful. The Word of God talks about breaking up fallow ground in our heart. What is fallow ground? Fallow ground is simply this. It's ground that is very hard, and it's not fertile, okay? It's very unhealthy ground. It's not going to produce a good yield or a good crop. That's fallow ground. Say fallow. Fallow ground is very, you could say it this way, unproductive ground. Remember, we're talking about your heart. Fallow is very unproductive ground. It will not produce a good harvest or a harvest at all, in fact. The seed was not protected because it was never sown. Come on, here's what you got to get this. Say, I'm listening, Pastor. Listen to this. The seed was not protected because it was never sown into the heart. The word was never thought about again after hearing it. The word was never, are you ready for this? Never meditated on. Oh, come on now. Come on. It was never meditated on. It was never received and planted in your heart. The seed of the word of God was simply heard, and it sat on top of the soil of your heart and became very easy for the enemy to snatch away. Why? Because you didn't give it any more thought, and the enemy stole it. Because it wasn't planted in the heart, okay? It was never, I like to say it like this, it was never received into the heart. The Holy Spirit revealed this to me. When we hear the word of God being preached or taught to us, or if you read it, if there is no understanding of it, and there's no further effort to study it, to keep it in your thought life, meditate on what you heard, okay? The seed just sits at the top of your heart, and it's not inside of your heart to grow a root to bring fruit in your life. Does that make sense? A seed must be planted in. In fact, when a seed is planted in the ground, it's protected, isn't it? From animals coming along and taking that seed, opposed to it just sitting on top. Okay, now, so in this case, we have a choice to make with that seed. That seed that's sitting on our heart. We can either ignore it, not think about. Now, when I talk about seed, I'm talking about a message, a preached message, or you read something, or someone shares the gospel with you or something, right? The seed, the words coming forth, okay? And you never think about that again. And the enemy will snatch it away completely. Or we can think about what was spoken. Again, we can meditate on that, what was spoken. We can search and study the word of God. We can pray for more wisdom and understanding. And when we do those things, when we meditate on what was spoken, when we seek the word of God and study the word, when we pray for wisdom and understanding, the Holy Spirit said this, that's like you digging a hole in your heart, taking the seed, putting it in, and covering it. Now it's protected somewhat, and you'll see why it might not be in a moment. But are you following what I'm saying right now? And then when it's in your heart, by meditating on it, by seeking the Lord, when it's in your heart, now it at least has a fighting chance to produce roots and impact your life and change you on the inside. You're making room for that seed. My question to you today is this. How many seeds from the Word of God? How many sermons? How many times maybe someone spoke something to you? How many seeds from the Holy Spirit have you left sitting on the top of your heart and you allowed it to be vulnerable to the enemy? And he took it when it was meant to bless you. When it could have changed, as we watch on Wednesday, where it could have tweaked a belief on the inside of you and put you back in faith. Or it sprouted. That seed was sitting on top of the soil of your heart and it sprouted and immediately died. Why? Because it's no root. Are you following me? Now, so every time you hear a sermon, whether here at church, online, anywhere else, guess what? You are responsible for that seed that's coming forth. It's not the pastor's responsibility. All I am is, I'm just a farmer. I'm just sowing seed on top of your heart right now. I'm just sowing seed. Are you following me? It's your responsibility to take care of that seed. All right? That's, again, that seed, this word is simply just being thrown on your heart. Why? Guess what? I can't get in your heart. Only you can grab that seed and put it in your heart. Are you following me? All right. So you're responsible to plant that seed. You're responsible to water it. You're responsible to protect that precious seed of the Word of God in your heart. The problem is, by the way, is never with the seed of the Word of God. The problem is always, and you look, and Jesus made that known in the parable. The problem is never with the seed. The problem is with the soil the seed is falling on. All right? According to Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Think about this. This is really interesting. It just blows your mind when you really stop to think about it. A lot of things we just kind of, in nature, we just kind of take for granted, right? It becomes just common to us, right? But think about this. Even in just nature, a seed, even in the natural realm, has life within it. A small seed, even a mustard seed, so small, and it has life. It has potential for life. Say potential. That's really amazing when you think about it, isn't it? The life and potential within that one small seed depends on the conditions that surround that seed, the nurturing of that seed, the protection of that seed, the watering of that seed. Let's go a little further. Ready? The commitment to that seed. Say commitment. You need commitment to the seed to see it through to the harvest. We grew carrots. I was raised on a carrot farm. We didn't just sow it and walk away and hope that everything would be good. No, you take care of it. You take care of you get the weeds out of there. Are you following me? We irrigate if there's no rain coming. Always hated that, man. Move an irrigation pipe in 90-degree weather, horrible. Man. But there needs to be a commitment to the seed. All right? So our life, think about this. Our life is a seed. And you can apply those same principles to our life personally. All right? Commitment to that seed from the very beginning of receiving that seed to the completion of the harvest of that seed. Now, you know what? This goes for any of the promises in the Word of God. Apply it to whatever you want. Apply it to prosperity. Apply it to healing in your physical body. Whatever it is. If the seed's not nurtured, protected, and a commitment toward it, the manifestation will never come. Are you following me? A seed, listen to this. So a seed is not protected until it's planted in the ground, valued, and taken care of properly. And you thought you just come to church just to sit and hear a nice message. And no, you have a responsibility once you hear the message for it to change your heart, for it to impact your life somehow. Amen? In the parable that Jesus taught, some of the seed is received in our heart but most of it was on the top it was talking about. But here's one. Listen to this. Okay, this is one where seed comes into the heart, but Jesus said it was planted among thorns. Say thorns. Now, what are thorns? What's Jesus talking about? Thorns, he made it very clear. Thorns are two things that are a danger to your seed. Are you ready? Cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. Those two things, Jesus said, would totally choke the Word of God from becoming fruitful in your life, from you producing a harvest from those things. Now here, you gotta follow me here because this is powerful. I want you to notice that both of those things, the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches, both of those things are a thought life problem. Did you catch that? It's a thought life problem. So that must mean your seed can die in your thought life. The two words, cares and deceitfulness, those things can only operate in your thought life. It means the word of God. Listen to this. So there was thorns. It was received, but then there were thorns. It means this, that the word of God was initially received into the heart, but it was basically overtaken and forgotten about because of those two things. Cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. When Jesus is teaching and he gives us concrete points, do you think they're kind of important for us to really pay attention to? I think Jesus knew what he was talking about, right? So it was received in, but it was overtaken. That seed was overtaken or forgotten about, really, because of those two things. Those two things are harvest killers. Those two things are harvest killers. All right, the seed did not remain in the person's heart long enough to grow roots. Say long enough. It wasn't in there long enough. Listen to what I'm saying here. This is the person that hears a sermon, that reads the word of God, or someone witnesses to them, okay? And is pricked in their heart immediately when listening to the message or to the person. Maybe it even impacts them for 2 or 3 days. Hello? But then falls right back into the same sinful and worldly thought patterns. Did you just hear what I said? Thought patterns. It was in there. They got excited. Anybody ever know anybody like that? They get really excited when they hear a message. And then 3 days later, it's like they're living like the devil again. Like, what? What? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Their thought life, they got their focus off of the seed. Now, they forget about the word of God. And here we go. Get ready. I'm going to jump into something else here. Are you ready? They forget about the word of God and this. They forget about this. The tug or conviction of the Holy Spirit at that moment when hearing it. They forget. Have you ever done that before? You had a powerful experience or encounter with the Lord, and in the course of time, your thought patterns fell back into the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost reminds you of that experience. And you're like, my goodness, how could I forget about that? Now listen to this. Are you ready for this? Do not ignore. This is a warning. Do not ignore or waste an opportunity when the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart with a message, whether that's a sermon from the pulpit or someone even just talking to you. And you feel that tug. Do not ever ignore or waste an opportunity when the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. Do you know what I mean when I say that, tugging on your heart? You're being moved. Some people, you might even experience tears. You're being moved. You can feel the presence of God on that word. It feels like it's just for me. That's the tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart. And here's, I feel the anointing right now. Listen to this. You know what's happening when you have that tug on your heart? It's what we call a kairos moment. Say kairos. There are two Greek words used for the word time. All right, one is chronos and one is kairos. Now, here's what they mean. Chronos is basically time, just general time, from now till eternity. It's just time. That's chronos, okay? But kairos, oh my goodness, hold on here. Let me read this. So chronos basically means time in general. And kairos, let me give the definition that I'm going to tell you. Something that's going to make it stick in your heart. Kairos means this, literally. An opportune or significant moment of time. Moment, the key is moment of time, often associated with divine timing. So, chronos is time in general. Kairos is a moment of that time that's often associated with God's divine timing. Let me explain it this way. If I had a tape measure up here and we pull that tape measure out completely, that represents chronos. That's just time in general. But if I come up to that tape measure and I cut off an inch and take it away, that's kairos. Are you following me? It's a moment in time, divine timing, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Kairos, it's a divine appointment or a divine encounter for a specific shorter period of time. And I like to say kairos is like this. Are you ready? It's like a marker in the road of time. It's impactful. It impacts you. It's an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And you remember it. Has anybody have a kairos moment with the Holy Ghost in your life? If you're born again, you better have. Amen? Now listen to this. When the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart in a kairos moment, take advantage of it. Respond to it. Take it to heart. Don't waste a divine appointment from the Holy Spirit that he's trying to give you this revelation. He's trying to give you instructions for your life that will change the very direction of your life. That's why it's a marker in the road. Say marker. In the road. And here's what you got to understand about kairos moments, about divine moments or encounters from the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for this? You never know if and when you will ever have a kairos moment like that again. Oh, you got to get that. It's like someone when they're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're being moved to tears, realizing Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they need Jesus. And the minister says, everybody who wants to make Jesus Lord of your life, come on up to this altar right now. And they fight it. They leave the building. They live like the devil again. And you never know if that kairos moment will ever happen again. And they end up dying and going to hell for eternity. Are you following me? The problem is this. You never know if and when another kairos moment's going to happen again. Do not pass it up. How many kairos moments have we passed up in our life that could have shifted, that could have moved in a direction that would have been absolutely mind-blowing? The Holy Spirit was trying to get your attention, trying to get my attention, but we ignored it. Don't do it. Don't do it. So, back to what I was talking about earlier. I was talking about the person or a person not keeping the Word of God in their heart long enough to grow. Their thought life, their focus went back to the cares of this world. It went back, say back, that's why it's called backsliding. It went back to, all right, the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. And it literally aborted or choked the seed of the Word of God in their heart. So this reveals to us that our focus determines, say focus. Our focus determines whether a spiritual seed grows or becomes unfruitful. Our focus. Think about it. To be able to protect a seed, to be able to nurture a seed, to be able to commit to it. What does that seed need? Your focus. For you to meditate on that thing. Ask the Holy Spirit how to apply it to your life. Don't ever forget this. And I say this a lot, but I'll keep on saying it till the day I take my last breath. What you focus on in your life will grow stronger. That's a spiritual law, the spiritual law of focus. What you focus on, it's going to grow, whether it's good or evil. All right? Your focus, you could say it this way, your focus is the feeding and watering process of whatever's in your heart. It's in your heart. It's the feeding. And it's the watering process. And listen to me, what you feed, what you water, will become the strongest in your life. Listen to this. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost up here today. God is a rewarder of those who what? diligently seek him. In other words, those that focus on him and his word. Did you know, when you're focusing on the word of God, you're focusing on God himself too. Hello? All right? And those that put an effort, say effort, an effort into seeking him in their life. Now, think about this. Think about this then. If he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, think about this. The object of your focus in your life determines if you will be rewarded by God your creator or you will reject his reward for your life. Think about that. Nobody in here wants to reject the reward, the blessings and reward. Does anybody in here want to reject that? That's why we need to be conscious of what we're focusing on. You got to consciously think about God. You got to consciously, you just don't meditate on something by accident. Hello? It's on purpose. So, how does the enemy operate to steal the seed of the word that's sitting on our heart or even within our heart? All right? If it's sitting on your heart, it's still just kind of a passing thought. If it's in your heart, for it to get in your heart, you had to meditate on that word. Are you following me? You meditate on that word to plant it in your heart, okay? Jesus made it very clear that the purpose of the kingdom of darkness is to steal, kill, and to destroy. You remember that in John 10:10? Jesus said that. Demons and evil spirits will always try to negatively influence your thought life. That's the only way they can get entrance into your life, into your physical body, and into your soul, mind, will, and emotions. Are you following me? Now, 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, it tells us these instructions about the enemy. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that would try, you getting it? To exalt itself against the knowledge of God. By exalting itself against the knowledge of God, they are trying to deceive you. The enemy operates in one area. Are you ready? Deception. He's trying to deceive you and I. All right? It's very clear. All right? It's all about deception. They're trying. Here's what the enemy's trying to do. Let me word it in a different way. Are you ready for this? The enemy is trying to do this. He's trying to capture your focus on something other than God and his kingdom and his word. The enemy is trying to capture, say capture, your focus with something other than God. All right? How many of you believe in here the enemy knows the power of the seed of the word? That's why they're trying to capture and shift your focus away from it. That, friend, that should make you and I motivated to press in like ever before. Like never before. Amen? They try to do it with things that will stir up our fleshly and sinful desires on the inside of us, okay, in your thought life. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You getting anything out of this? Oh, but wait, there's more. I'm only on page 6 of 9 here, so we're rolling. Glory to God. Now, 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Oh, this is so good. I mean, this will shift destinies if you take hold of what I'm talking about today. I knew it that when I was writing this message. I'm telling you, this is from the Holy Ghost. This ain't from James Brandt. I can't come up with something like this. This is revelation from the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Wow, that's pretty... Whoa, right? If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, underline it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So, here we go. Jesus gave us the definition of the world. It fits into these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the only three things the world has to offer you, the believer. Does that sound good to you? No. Here's what it is. Now, the word lust. You want to know what the word lust it means? Lust, people think about lust, they just think about sexual stuff. Listen, it includes that, but it's not that, or only that. Lust simply means this. Lust is a very, very, very strong desire. Say desire. And where does desire take place in your life? In your thought life. Again, the enemy's going after your thought life. The enemy's going after your thought life. The world is talking about the evil world system that Satan controls on this earth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says it refers to Satan as the god of this world. Not of the earth, of this world. All right? And by the way, it's a small g. All right? It's talking about the evil world system that operates on the earth. Right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But there is an, I don't know if you noticed or not, but there is an evil world system taking place on this earth. Do you notice that yet? Do you watch Fox News lately? Right? Listen, I want you to notice that all three of those categories for sin deals with, are you ready for this? Listen to me now. I'm talking about the enemy. He's a flesh devil. He goes after our flesh. Listen to this. I want you to notice that all three of those categories, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they all deal with things in the natural realm. Oh, listen to me now. The flesh, the eyes, the pride of life, what's the pride of life? It's greed for what? Worldly things. It's okay to have things, but don't let them have you. Are you following me? It's talking about greed. Oh, I have to have this so I can keep up with the Joneses. The pride of life. Oh, I got to have this car because I want to look good. Are you following me? It comes back to motive, right? See, that is the enemy's playbook. To get us to fall within those three categories in what we think, say, and do. Say think, say, and do. Think, say, and do sums up your whole life. Okay? And the enemy's trying to get you to fall into fleshly desires, and it all takes place first and foremost in your thought life, all right? The moment we fall into any of those categories, the Word of God's very clear that at that moment you did that in your thought life, we dethrone God from our heart, and we made those things an idol in our life. We made the world an idol, all right? So just know and be prepared for it. Whatever God tells us not to do, when you see a command in the Word of God where God says, don't do this, don't do that, all right? You want to know why God tells us not to do it? Because there's always going to be a temptation in our flesh to do it. And who do you think is going to play on that? Really, the Word of God is not just God's book. He's given the enemy's playbook and how the enemy's coming against us. If God tells us not to do something, who's going to promote that in our life? Demons and evil spirits and Satan. So as you're reading the Word of God and you're reading these things, I want you to start shifting. It's not just about the kingdom of God. He's exposing the enemy too in his commands. Are you following me? All right. Now, on to page 7. And no, 7's not completion in my sermon, okay? All right, here we go. We're going to keep on rolling. I'm almost done, though. Here's what you got to understand. Are you ready? Not every thought that you have originates with you. Oh, you got it. You Christians, you've got to understand this. The enemy makes people go crazy on this. Because people get into self-condemnation and guilt. But here's what I'm here to tell you. Not every thought that crosses through your mind originates with you. It's the enemy. That's why God tells us to cast down evil thoughts and every high thing. We're supposed to arrest them, throw them out. How about where he says this in his word? We are to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy with the shield of faith. Right? That's talking about thoughts that the enemy throws at us. And we're supposed to put that shield of faith up. And really, that shield is right here. Our thought life. Amen? The enemy will throw thoughts. The enemy will throw imaginations at you. Say imaginations. They will literally, listen to me now, here's what the enemy will do. They will literally throw pictures, short movies into your imagination. Did you just hear what I said? They will throw pictures movies into your on the movie screen of your imagination. And they will try to negatively influence you to take your focus off of God and his word. By the way, did you know demons can even give you evil dreams? If they can give you evil dreams, what makes, right? What's a dream? There's a picture going on. There's a movie playing out, right? If they can give you evil dreams, they can give you pictures while you're awake. Are you following me? Because, listen, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We need to be aware of them and know how to come against it. We need to recognize when he's at work. Amen? Remember, thoughts and pictures. I'm going to go deeper here. Ready for this? I wish I knew this when I was younger. Remember this. Thoughts and pictures on the inside of us are communication in the spirit realm. The spirit realm communicates with us. I'm not talking about your dead aunt or anybody. They're either in heaven or in hell. I'm talking about demons, evil spirits, even God's angels, the Holy Spirit even, right? Thoughts and pictures on the inside are communication in the spirit realm. Satan, demons, evil spirits, they're all spirits, and they communicate to us spiritually with thoughts and pictures inside in our imagination. Okay? Now, again, this is not just limited to the enemy doing it. It's the whole spirit realm, right? The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God both communicate like that, all right? The enemy will also use, how else can he try to steal the seed? The enemy will also use other people. He'll use family members, right? He'll even use Christians at times, right? To try to steal and override that seed in our heart. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you distracted. He's trying to get you to cut your faith short. Come on. Amen? That's what he's trying to do. So that's why the Word of God says be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be on guard. We need to protect that seed of the Word of God in our heart. All right? Now, I want to briefly talk about personal prophetic words. Does this interest anybody in here? All right. Thank you, too. Now, listen. I want to briefly talk about personal prophetic words, all right, from the Holy Spirit spoken through people to people. Say through and to. Now, I want, here, prophetic words, they don't have the authority as the written word of God, you know that, but they are very important if they're genuinely from the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they can give personal instructions for our life, correct? So that's why you must judge every prophetic word, whether it's from the Holy Spirit or not. In fact, if it's from the Holy Spirit, it's going to somehow, it's going to bear witness on the inside. There's going to be something that pings in your spirit. Have you ever had that? Someone prophesies over you and something just pings like, oh, that feels good in there. Yeah, I'm kind of bearing witness with this thing. Have you ever had someone prophesy over you and you're like, oh, that don't feel right. Yeah. No, I don't know. Are you following me? It's either a ping or a ding. Right? Wow, I should come up with some course on the prophetic, right? Ping and ding. Ah, glory to God. Now, so, and if it's just kind of neutral, it might even be neutral to you. Like, sounds good, but I don't know one way or the other. That's where you take it, remember? And you just set it on the shelf. And then let God deal with it. And if it's God, it'll work its way out, right, in your life. But go with me to 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1:18. I want to show you something here. Hallelujah. Ping, ding, and neutral. Should I copyright that? We'll see. All right. Here we go. 1 Timothy 1:18. I'm talking about personal prophetic words, all right? Because personal prophetic words from the Holy Ghost, it's seed coming out. If it's from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here we go. Verse 18. It says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them," by what? By the prophecies that were spoken over him, "that you may wage the good warfare." All right. So the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is talking to Timothy, a young pastor, and he's telling him, "Hey, Timothy, the seed of that prophetic word, of those prophetic words that were spoken over you," he's basically saying this, "don't forget them, remember them." And one of the commentaries said that the prophecies that came forth were talking about the Holy Spirit was speaking to Timothy about his mission or function in the ministry. Like it was something that was a personal instructions. Are you following me? So somehow maybe Timothy got off course a little bit, and Paul had to come along to his spiritual son and say, "Now, Timothy, don't forget the prophetic words that were spoken over you. Stay on course with what was spoken." Obviously, they were from the Holy Ghost, or Paul wouldn't have told him that, right? You following me? So the prophecies that were spoken over him, and it said to wage a good warfare. Otherwise, if he doesn't do that, he might not be, follow me, be successful against the enemy in warfare. Do you follow that? He's saying, remember the prophetic words that came forth, because you might not be as effective, basically, in warfare against the enemy. The Holy Spirit was encouraging Timothy, again, to stay within his purpose and ministry. Don't veer away from it. Stay focused on your purpose. And that could go for if you've gotten a prophetic word about your life in general, too. It's not just ministry stuff, right? But it had to ping on the inside of you, not ding, okay? Y'all sleeping now. Y'all in a food coma now. Okay, it's getting close to that time. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me, all right? He said this, "Remembering personal prophetic words," listen, "will awaken the spiritual seed that was released when it was first spoken over you. The enemy wants you to abort that prophetic seed by forgetting about it or by influencing you to be negative about it or faithless about it." Here's what he said as well. Remembering the prophetic words over your life personally will reactivate the anointing that was on it originally and strengthen you to endure the trials and wage good and wise warfare. All right? Basically, to stay within the will of God for your life. So prophetic words are very important. They are, aren't they? All right? Now listen to this. When we forget legit personal prophetic words, the power of that word remains dormant in our heart. It remains dormant until we set our focus back on that. Some of you had prophetic words spoken over you, and they really impacted you at first, but it's been years, and you've forgotten about it. The Holy Spirit's saying, go back and remember it, and it's going to reactivate that anointing on the inside of you. Listen to this. Refocusing on those personal prophetic words will reactivate the anointing, so it will strengthen our heart and encourage us. The refocus will also reactivate. Are you ready for this? I like this one too. He said this to me. Refocusing on those powerful prophetic words will also reactivate. Say reactivate. The angels and ministering spirits that were assigned to us when that prophetic word was released. I'm getting a little deeper here, right? Can y'all handle it? Don't choke on this word now. Come on. Listen to this. Hope and faith will reignite in our heart. It will cause us to speak in faith, and it will cause us to break the word curses that were spoken against us, that were spoken against our purpose and mission. Are you following me? Listen, it's a whole process of refocusing, reigniting, and flowing in your God-given purpose. all right, that's taking place in your life. The entire kingdom of God, the entire kingdom of God in the spirit realm will be reactivated when you focus back on that word and meditate on it. By the way, when you meditate on a vision or a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit, what happened to Peter when he thought on the vision that God gave him? It said the Holy Spirit spoke to him. So you putting your focus back on there, be ready, because the Holy Spirit might give you more instructions, more details about that prophetic word when you put your focus back on it. Now, back to the seed of the word. I'm almost done. Hang in there. I'm talking about the keys to receiving your harvest. I'm talking about how to handle, care for, and nurture the seed of the word of God in your heart, okay? How to make it grow and influence your life. How to receive the promises of God in your life. All right, just if you've forgotten about that point, I wanted to remind you, right? If you sow the word of God in your heart and nurture it, eventually you will reap a harvest. I said eventually you will reap a harvest. The purpose of sowing seed is to reap a blessing in your life. Amen? Just like a purpose of sowing natural seed is to get a harvest, right? There's a purpose behind it. God is a God of purpose. Everything has purpose with God. So there needs to be, again, the protection and nurturing of the seed. There needs to be commitment, faithfulness, and patience. Say patience. Patience toward the seed that's planted in your heart. Now, when the Word of God talks about sowing and reaping, hold on, I still got some revelation bombs for you. Here we go. Sowing and reaping, when the Word of God talks about that, it's these three things. Seed, time, harvest. Are you following me? Seed, plant it, time. How much? I don't know. Harvest. Between the sowing of the word and the reaping of the harvest, or the promises of God, the word of God, there must be time for it to grow in your heart, for it to benefit you. In the waiting, listen to me, don't ever disconnect your faith in the seed that was planted in your heart. The time part of the process involves faith and patience. Anytime you see the word patience in the Word of God, listen to me, God's taken for granted that you're staying in faith. If you're not in faith, it's not patience. You blew it. Are you following me? They're cousins. They're twins. Faith and patience go together, right? Without the disciplines of commitment, faithfulness, and patience being active in your life, the reaping process will constantly, listen to me, be delayed, hindered, or even aborted. And we will miss out on the harvest and the blessing that God intended us to have. And that goes for any of the promises in the Word of God. You got to keep, as Kenneth Hagin said, keep the switch of faith turned on. Don't turn that switch of faith off. Keep it on in the waiting. In fact, that's the only time you need faith, is in that time period. Are you following me? That carries you through to the harvest. All right? If the enemy can't influence you, listen to me. If the enemy cannot influence you to not sow the seed in your heart, the next aspect that he will attack, are you ready for this? The time issue. If he can't stop you from meditating on the word, from really seeking the Lord in prayer, digging into the word, you planted that seed. If he can't stop that, which he can't unless you let him, he'll attack that time process. He'll try to get you to abort that seed in the time process. Say time. That goes for not only receiving the promises in the Word of God, but also personal instructions from the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's something to that. Isn't there something powerful to that? Just know, the enemy's going to, he's going to creep in that time process. You're going to say, God, where's this promise? It's never going to come. And God's saying, no, hold on. Let the seed get rooted on the inside of you. Amen. The enemy will try to distract you. He will try to discourage you. And he will try to get you to flip that switch of faith off in the time process. So a lot of times people, they abort it right in the time process. Now guess what has to happen again? Start over, plan it again. Let's try it again this time. I'm telling you, if you will put into practice what I'm talking about, you will start to see manifestations of the promises of God blowing up in your life, blowing up in your physical body. A seed needs time to grow. What farmer in the natural plants a seed and immediately digs it up and says, "Why are you growing?" You'd be psycho. Why do we do that with spiritual seed? Why? There's a reason. Listen to me. There's a reason why Jesus used the parable of the sower and the soil. Because it's seed, time, and harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if God tells you, here, listen to this. If God tells you to be planted in a specific local church, at a job, or whatever it is, stay committed, stay faithful, stay patient, and protect that seed in your heart and life. Amen? Allow the time process to play out. Allow the Holy Spirit to have His perfect work in your heart in that place. Here's what the Holy Spirit told me. There's no shortcut to obedience. There's no shortcut to obedience. In fact, he went on to illuminate this, and we all heard it before. Partial obedience is disobedience. God's not looking for anything partial. He wants our whole heart. The greatest enemy to our spiritual growth is not the devil or the kingdom of darkness. Do you want to know what it is? It's our free will, where we have the ability to walk away from something the Holy Spirit is using to deal with and heal the dark places of our heart and life. That's the real enemy. The key is this: are you going to stay planted? Are you going to stay planted and let the Holy Ghost, have your work? This ain't fun. I don't like going through this, but Holy Ghost, have your way. In fact, the Word of God says the trying of your faith. You want to know what that means? The trying of the time phase is precious. It literally says it's precious, the trying of your faith. Go ahead, in that time frame, just start praising the Lord. Start thanking Him for the answer. Why? Because you're not willing to flip that switch of faith off. And if you're going to have faith, you're going to praise Him in the time period. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost on this. So as I close here, almost, don't ever abort the cleansing and healing process of the Holy Spirit in your life. Allow Him to, what we call, sanctify you. Want to know what sanctify means? It means purify. He's purifying you through that time process. Keep that seed planted in your heart. Allow it the needed time to grow. Continue to meditate on it. The purpose of the seed in your heart. You know what that purpose really is? The seed of the Word of God. Even when you're waiting on a promise, you want to know what that time process is where it's growing roots. You want to know what it really is happening? The whole purpose is this: for you to become more like Jesus. Amen. The trying of your faith is precious. Real quick, go to Psalm 1, just three verses there. I'm not going to elaborate. I just got two quick different passages. I'm not going to elaborate much, but Psalm 1, 1 through 3, I want to leave you with here, one of the verses here, passages. Blessed is the man or person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he what? You could say this: in his law, he plants the seed of the Word of God in his heart, day and night. And you wouldn't do any injustice to that verse. He meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth its fruit. What? Oh, in its season. Not immediately, in its season. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he will prosper. He or she will be like that tree planted. What I want to pull out there is in its season. The time process. Real quick, my last one, Psalm 92, 12 through 15. See, the Word of God works, but you got to work the Word. The Word of God has power, but it must be mixed with faith on the inside of your heart. You know what your faith is when you plant the seed in your heart? Faith is this. Oh, the Holy Ghost just showed me this. Are you ready? Fertilizer for the seed. Nutrients for the seed. It unlocks the power in the seed of the Word. Look at this. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. Glory to God. And it simply says this. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow. Say grow. Time. Grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The righteous, those who are planted, rooted in the house of the Lord, shall flourish and grow. They will provide a harvest in their life. Hallelujah. Church, in the waiting, in the time process between the sowing and reaping, I want to encourage you to stand in faith, water the seed, grow in intimacy with your Heavenly Father. In the harvest, the promise will eventually manifest in your life. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. Seed, time, and harvest. Hallelujah. I'm ready for a harvest as well. Amen. Now, if there's anybody in this place, you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, you're feeling that tug, don't pass up that Kairos moment. Come down to this altar, pray with the prayer team to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. If this message really pricked your heart, you've been discouraged in that time process. You've been really discouraged. In fact, you backslid. In fact, you turned the switch of faith off. But today, this message encouraged you, it recharged you, and you want a brand new start. Come down and pray with one of the prayer team members, and they'll pray over you, and you'll walk out of here charged up even more. Amen? If you never received the Holy Spirit baptism, speaking in other tongues, come on down. They'll pray with you as well. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. By the way, don't keep them too long. It is Father's Day. We all have things to do. Amen? Have a wonderful week. Really, plant the seed of what you heard today. Plant it in your heart and watch what the Holy Spirit does. I love you all. If you need me, you know where to find me. God bless. Have a great week.